Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hi, this is Kay from Minneapolis. I was in New York City that day, that morning when 9/11 happened, and it was a gorgeous day. I ended up staying there. We tried to donate blood. We brought food down to the actual to the site, and I was there for a week, and it was an amazing experience with all the people that I had met during that week. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Kay, for trying to donate blood, for doing your thing. What an extraordinary time to be in New York City on 9/11, 20 years ago tomorrow. You heard my story, my awareness moment of that day, of the hours that day, agonizing, waiting for news that my little brother, thank God, was going to be okay. But it was agonizing for me as he was in the World Trade Center complex as a lawyer for the SEC at the time. We're taking your voicemails. The phone number is 612-208-2399, 612-208-2399. Tell us your story that day, and we will play them throughout the show. But I am thrilled to have my baby brother, Jonathan Green, on the air with us today. Thank God he is available to come on with us. Of course, he survived that day, that horrible day on 9/11, and now has a beautiful wife and two boys and living the dream in New Jersey. And I'm glad you made time for us today. Jonathan, welcome back to the program.
It's great to be back, Jor. How are you doing?
Well, I'm okay. You know exactly how I'm doing. My brother and I talk almost daily, and he's more worried about my leukemia recovery than anything else. So I love you, and I know we're going to be off topic today. No cancer talk today, but we are going to go back to that day, Jonathan. It was 20 years ago. You were in your 20s. You were a young lawyer working for the SEC, probably fresh out of law school. So start with that morning. Share the story of your 9/11 memory.
Yeah, thanks, Jor. It feels a little weird to be worried about that while you are recovering, I'll say, from leukemia. But I had graduated from law school in May or June of that year, and this was my first job. And I probably was on the job for maybe a week, if that, when 9/11 happened. I had come to work that day, as I recall, the planes hit before 9 a.m., I think. Certainly the first one did. I don't remember the exact time. But I was still getting to work pretty early. I was an eager beaver, showing up at like 8:15 in the morning. I had gone in and gone up to my office, which was on maybe the 13th floor or something like that.
Which tower?
It was in tower number 7. That's right. The tower 7 was maybe 100 yards away from the Twin Towers. It's all pretty close. You know, there's a complex there. I forget how many buildings are in the World Trade Center complex, but the two Twin Towers that everyone is most familiar with are 1 and 2, and I was in 7, but it wasn't, 3 through 6 are not necessarily closer to 1 and 2. It's just the way it sort of worked out. 7 was a 40-something story building, And the way the entrances work to those buildings, it was a little strange. No one really entered 7 on street level. There was a raised platform above the street, and the lobby of the building was actually on the 4th floor. So you went up an outdoor escalator to this up raised platform and entered on the 4th floor, which I did on that morning. It was a nice day, and went up to, you know, kind of like today, really nice day, nice morning. And I took my, my briefcase, which was a law school graduation gift. And, and I had a Palm Pilot. So that was a thing back in 2001. And I went up to my office, which I shared with another rookie lawyer, and put that stuff down. And then I went all the way down to the ground floor, you know, below the lobby to get something to eat and get some coffee. So I had a coffee and I think it was like a chocolate chip muffin, which when I was 25 years old, I could metabolize a chocolate chip muffin. So that was not a problem. And so, you know, I got them, I bought them from the cafeteria, and I went to pay, and I was in line to pay in the checkout line, and there were TV monitors above the cashier, above the reg, you know, as I'm paying with cash. People still used, you know, cash back then. And so I was waiting in line to pay, and then I saw in the TV monitor a hole in one of the buildings that was not far from where I was. And in hindsight, maybe there was a tremor that I should have noticed or something like that, but I didn't. Maybe because there was that raised platform four floors above us that insulated from it, or maybe just because in New York City, you might feel the ground shake from time to time and not notice it, because it could be a subway or just, you know, there's just a lot going on in New York and in Manhattan, and you just kind of, you know, tend to focus on your thing, you know, on whatever you're focused on, which for me at that moment was getting coffee. And so I'm waiting in the line to pay, and I look up at the monitor and I see that there is a hole in one of the Twin Towers. And I thought, oh my God, that's crazy. I it was weird. I thought maybe there was some pilot that was suicidal and wanted to do this, and, you know, what a terrible thing. But the idea that we were under attack by terrorists did not occur to me at that time. I finished paying, and then I went up from the cafeteria to the lobby, and I would have gone all the way up, to my office, but for some reason I didn't, and I assume someone told me that you can't go up to your office, or maybe the elevators wouldn't go up to the office, or whatever it was. But I had gone up. Can't remember if it was by elevator or by stairs, but I had gone up to as far as the fourth floor, which is where the lobby was, and everybody was coming down off of the upper floors and everywhere. No one was getting past the lobby. So the lobby is filling up with people. And the buildings were, the building had a glass front facing the Twin Towers. There was just a glass, you know, it was sort of all glass. And so that you could see out of it. Now, and we were close enough to the Twin Towers that we could not see where the hole was in the building, because that was up high. So you had to, like, literally go up against the glass and crane your neck up to look up to see where that hole was. So we couldn't see.
At this point, were the police there? Were people evacuating you? At this point, did anybody know there was a threat?
So we didn't know what was going on. Now, only one plane had hit at this point. I think someone told me the planes hit 18 minutes apart. So this is all happening in a pretty compressed time frame. You know, this is all, you know, no more than 18 minutes had elapsed between the first and the second plane hitting, something like that. And so there was lots of police and emergency vehicles. There's always lots of police around in New York, right? There certainly was more, and panic, and no one really knew what was going on, but we were told by the security personnel in the building to just stay put, and that sounded sensible, because there was debris falling from the building, and they said it's dangerous, you don't want anything to hit you. And we saw a couple of things fall from the building, and you know, we thought, oh yeah, this is a good idea, let's stay inside so we don't get hit by anything. And then I remember there were some other new lawyers that I knew that were closer to the glass front of the building, and I'd just gotten to know some of these folks. They'd, you know, gone through orientation with them and all that stuff, and this one young woman all of a sudden shrieked and ran in my direction, and I was like, what happened? And she said she just saw someone leap from the building. Or, you know, left or fell from the building, you know, and it's one thing when you see debris falling, but it's another, you know, she saw a person fall, and it sort of got very real for all of us at that moment.
And Jonathan, I'm going to stop you. We're going to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to hear the rest of the story. I just want everybody to take that in for a moment. Just got real for my brother, Jonathan Green. Now there's a real threat. He is still in the lobby of Tower 7. This is before the second plane hits. Jonathan, we'll have about 7 more minutes when you get back, and we will hear the rest of the story of that morning in New York City on 9/11 with my brother right in a moment. My younger brother, Jonathan Green, is sharing his story of 9/11. He was a young lawyer, fresh out of law school, working for the SEC in Tower 7 of the World Trade Center complex. We're at the point of the story where the first plane has hit. He is now sequestered in the lobby of Tower Number 7. And in front of him, a woman shrieks as she sees a body fall from Tower 1. Jonathan, thanks for sticking with us. You said before the break, you know, it really got real then, of course. Now you see somebody who either jumped or was thrown from the building. What happened next?
Yeah, so we're still in Tower 7. The first plane had hit, but the second plane hadn't. But we, you know, while we sort of knew that bad things were obviously happening, the person falling really sort of, you know, sort of really got real at that moment. And then I remember the ground shook and a big, like, wave of heat came over us for just an instant. And we didn't know what it was. It wasn't like we were burning or anything like that. I just remember feeling like a quick hot flash, which in hindsight, of course, was the second plane hitting the other tower. And then when that happened, it dawned on us that we said, you know, this isn't a pilot with a death wish. This isn't an accident. We're under attack, and we got to get out of here. And I think even the security guards, you know, they made a half-hearted attempt to keep us in the lobby, but they knew that wasn't going to work. And so we left. We left the building, and we, in fact, went down to we took the escalator down and exited on the street level. And so we had the benefit of that raised platform to sort of protect us from debris that was falling. But we left on the back side of the building, so we were away from the Twin Towers anyway. It was pretty orderly. There wasn't a panicked retreat, but we all kept our cool, more or less. But there were, you know, probably a few thousand people in the lobby then. And we left the building, and we didn't know where to go, but we decided we got to go uptown is the answer. Now there isn't much of Manhattan beneath the World Trade Center, right? So there's really only one, and we didn't want to be stuck in that. So we said, let's just go uptown. And I remember thinking, let's go to a place where there's not a lot of big buildings, because if buildings are under attack, let's go somewhere else. So I thought, well, maybe Central Park, right, would be a place where we could be a little spread out, wouldn't be a good target, you know, to attack Central Park. So we just started walking up in that direction, and it was just an incredibly chaotic scene. Emergency vehicles everywhere, police, you know, running around. And I remember at one point we started walking up, didn't get too far, maybe north of City Hall Park for sure, north of the Brooklyn Bridge, not as far as 14th Street, that's for sure. And then all of a sudden a police officer came running towards us, panicked, and saying, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. And I had never in my life seen a police officer that panicked. And it caused me to be panicked, because I'm like, why? If the cops are panicked, then I'm panicked. And so we started moving even faster north. But what happened an instant later was one of the towers fell, collapsed on itself. And
did you feel that? Were you close enough to feel that collapse?
We were close enough that we felt the ground shake when that happened. Yes. And the really scary part was the smoke from that, the dust, whatever it is, is billowing up and coming at us. It's coming in all directions, including at us. And we didn't know when it was going to stop. We didn't know if we would be enveloped by that and what is in it and, you know, is there debris in it and whatever. And it turned out that it did stop before it reached us. We'd gotten far enough north that we were okay. But I just remember thinking that, like, you know, are we going to be caught in this huge cloud of dust and smoke that has God knows what else in it. I have friends that didn't make it that far north and were covered in the soot, and they're okay. But, you know, we know that with hindsight, but at the time we didn't. And so we kept moving north. You know, I just figured let's get out of downtown. Let's keep on moving north. And there was, you know, a handful of us that knew each other for maybe a couple of weeks at that point. And, you know, just kept walking, you know, and so my apartment at the time was on 50th Street, was with a friend who didn't live in Manhattan. So she, you know, you couldn't get out of the city. There's no subways running. There's no, you know, the bridges were not, as far as I know, you couldn't get over any of the bridges or in any of the tunnels. We had no idea what was going on.
Did you know that at the time? Like, again, you don't have yourself, your Palm Pilot. You have right. No communication. The phones are down. Like, were you all just this, like, cluster of confusion? Or are you getting word from the street, from people that you're passing, as to what's happening?
Yeah, no one really knew a whole lot of what was going on. I didn't, in addition to my Palm Pilot, my cell phone was in my office. So I couldn't call my parents. I couldn't call anyone to tell them I was okay. Some people did have cell phones, and we were trying to call out. I was like, can we just sort of get word to my family that I'm okay? Mm-hmm. And I remember the phones weren't really working. I don't know if the lines were jammed or because of the destruction downtown. Towers were out. I don't know exactly the reason. But it took me a while to get word to my family that I was okay. And so that was very much on my mind. At one point, I remember someone we were with knew someone that lived nearby. This was on our pilgrimage uptown, or to Midtown, I should say. Mm-hmm. And we went into their apartment and, you know, turned on the TV. You know, I was just looking for a phone. And we, you know, turned on the TV. And that was the first time I had heard about, you know, anything about who was responsible for this, you know, didn't know anything about. I don't remember how detailed the information was, if they were talking Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and Afghanistan at that point, or if they were talking more generally. But that was the first time we had got a sense as to who might be responsible for this, because, it took us, I don't know how long, you know, hours, you know, an hour or more to walk uptown. It's quite a lot of distance to cover.
It was hours. I remember waiting for you, and we had hours waiting for that phone call. You know, thank God we got it, that you were okay, because the alternative is unthinkable. But at that time, when you got to somebody's apartment, did you think you were safe, or did you think, oh my gosh, we're under attack and we're still in danger, or something worse is going to happen? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to having never been in that much danger, you know, until then, it's sort of hard to understand when you're really in that much danger, right? And so, some time had passed. There were no further attacks. So we thought, okay, maybe this is it. We did hear about, rumors were swirling, but there was some version of, you know, the Pentagon, the White House, Congress, you know, other place, you know, the Capitol building, other places were also under attack. And eventually we learned, you know, the truth of what actually happened. But after a while of, okay, they've shut down air travel, you know, and maybe it had taken a couple hours till we got the sense of, okay, I think this is over for now. But no, not really. I mean, we really didn't ever breathe a sigh of relief, like, okay, it's done. You know, it didn't quite happen like that.
So let's look back now. I mean, I can't even believe it's 20 years later, Jonathan. It seems, you know, it could have been yesterday. I remember that day as vividly as you do. So it's 20 years later. You still work in Manhattan. My brother, he's still a lawyer in private practice now in Manhattan. How, when you look back, how are things changed in Manhattan? How are you changed?
You know, we always say 9/11 is like one of those events that there's a before, and it's like a bookmark in our lives, right? Mm-hmm. There's a before and there's an after. Maybe the COVID pandemic will be that, another one of those type of events where, you know, there's a before and an after. But, you know, all of the things, the way we live, the sort of security apparatuses around us and all this stuff that's commonplace now, that didn't exist back then. You know, we don't think about it now, but that's certainly changed. you know, it did give me a sense of, you know, everyone always says this when they are looking at a situation where they realize in hindsight that they could have died. They say, you know, cherish the time you have, think about the people you care about, you know, and it's true. You know, there was an element of that in my life, at least anyway, where I thought, you know, we're only on this earth for a brief time period, and you got to take advantage of it.
Oh, thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing that story. I hope it's not painful when we talk about this every year. I know we recall things, you know, and I always learn something from your story every time you recall it, and it jogs something that I thought about that day. So I hope it's not painful when you recall it, but I so appreciate your perspective. Do you talk to anybody that you were walking uptown with on that day? You still keep in touch with anyone?
I do. You know, I do still keep in touch with a couple of folks. And, you know, we don't talk about that, but maybe we should. You know, maybe enough time has passed that we can actually have a sober conversation about it and think about, you know, compare memories, jog each other's memories, because I think that would be worthwhile.
Mm. Always great to hear your voice. My little brother, everybody, Jonathan Green.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.